Good morning, everyone. Our scripture reading for today is found in John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, that I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word to our hearts. We pray that you will encourage each one of us during these days when we are in lockdown. We pray that everything will go well and that soon we'll be able to get back into our regular routine of serving you and our worship services. And we pray that you will guide and help and direct us in everything that we do. We thank you that we have this opportunity to come on the internet and pray that you will bless this message to the hearts of the people, that we might be helpful and cause them to look to you for every need that they have. We thank you that you are the great shepherd of the sheep, and we put our faith and trust in you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Today we want to consider the shepherd of the sheep. Shepherds were common in Israel. There were many flocks of sheep, and each one had its own shepherd. Some of them were very conscientious and concerned about the sheep, while others considered it only a job and would run away at the first sign of danger. It's interesting to remember that David, the great king of Israel, began his career as a shepherd. Notice Psalm 78, verse 70, it says, He chose David also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with child. He brought him to feed Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. It seems to say that the experiences that David had in caring for the sheep helped him in his dealings with people. In fact, the scriptures often compare people to sheep. For example, in Ezekiel 34, he says, "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them." Jeremiah 50 says, "My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In Matthew 9:36, it says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Jesus told a story that illustrates this beautifully, his role as the good shepherd. This is in Matthew chapter 18. He says, "How think ye? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and goes into the mountains and seeks that which one has gone astray? If so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." So now, coming to John chapter 10, Jesus speaks of the shepherd and his sheep in three different ways. The first part, in beginning in verse 1, we find the morning scene, where he talks about entering into the door of the sheepfold. The shepherd comes to call his sheep. Several different flocks have been kept in an enclosure during the night, with this enclosure with stone walls around it, guarded by a doorkeeper to protect them from thieves and from wild animals. The shepherd comes to the gate, and the doorkeeper opens up to him. He calls his sheep by name. They recognize his voice, and they follow him. He leads them out to the green pastures. The Lord, calls his people, and they follow him. That's the main lesson that we see here. The Lord knows his own, and his own know him. Beginning at verse 7, we find then, secondly, near the pasture is an enclosure for the sheep. They can either go into this pen, or they can feed on the grass outside. The shepherd himself takes his place in the doorway and functions as a door or gate. Notice in verse 7, he says, "Verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Those who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." So we see here the Lord himself is the door, the one and only door. Making this spiritual application, we can see that Jesus is the only way that we can get into the fold, and the only way that we have of being saved. He's the only Savior. All the others are thieves and robbers. They do not offer true life but only false hope. Through Christ alone, we receive a number of things. First of all, salvation. The most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We have salvation in Christ. And then we have liberty. Jesus said, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you will be free indeed." We have freedom in Christ. We're no longer slaves to sin. We can live a righteous life. And then satisfaction. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Satisfaction. The Lord is always with us as if we are believers, and he will comfort us and help us even through the difficult times, and we can always put our faith and trust in him. And then sustenance. In Isaiah chapter 40, it says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." And lastly, we see that he offers us an abundant life. In verse 10 of our text, it says, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." That's what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to have a full and productive life as believers in him. Jesus, thirdly, then developed the shepherd and sheep illustration. And he says, "When evening came over the land, there were various dangers facing the sheep, lions, wolves, and other beasts of prey that were lurking out in the darkness." You know, the life of a shepherd could be dangerous. Remember, David spoke of the time that he killed a bear and then a lion and had to protect his sheep from all of the dangers that they had. And Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." He's the one who is always good to us. You know, the Lord's good all the time, right? That's what the saying goes, and that's certainly true. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." This is what Jesus did for us. He was willing to die for us that we might have salvation, that we might have eternal life. And he is faithful. He's faithful in all of his ways. It's he speaks here of the hireling, the one who is just there as a job. You know, and some people might be this way. Some of the religions and so forth, they don't offer salvation. They just be some ethical thing to follow. But Jesus is the one who is faithful to the sheep. And he gives us a personal, caring relationship. In verse 14, it says, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." You see that personal relationship that the Lord has with his own people. It says in 2 Thessalonians 3, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." He actually is always with us to help us in every situation. And he went to the cross and died for us, as we well know. He actually died for the sheep. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. And Romans 5, verse 8 says, But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Isn't that wonderful? God loved us so much, even when we were sinners, far from him and not believing, and he brought us unto himself. He justified us. He saved us. He reconciled us to God. What a wonderful Savior we have. 1 Peter 2, verse 24 says, Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So who are the sheep that we're talking about here in this chapter and in this message? You know, Jesus points out that every person is not one of his sheep. Okay? Verse 26. He's talking here to the religious people of his day, the scribes and the Pharisees and so forth. In verse 26 he says, But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. So every person is not one of his sheep. We don't just automatically become a believer by being born into this world or by following some particular rules. No, we have to trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior in order to have eternal life. His sheep are those who believe in him. And first of all, he was talking here among the Israelites, the Jewish people. So first of all, we find that there are those from among Israel that are his sheep. In Romans 11, Paul is writing here. He says, I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Know ye not what the scripture says of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? He says, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. God in his grace and mercy is saving people from among Israel, and we're so happy to know that that's the case. And then also, he says he's saving those from among the Gentiles. Look at verse 16 if you have your Bible. It says, And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The other sheep is speaking about the people from the nations, among the Gentiles. And in Acts 15, verse 14, it says, Simeon, that is Peter, has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. You remember God called Peter to go and to speak to this centurion, Cornelius, and his people. That was the first time that the gospel was taken to the Gentiles. And they received Christ as their Lord and Savior. And since that time, the gospel has gone around the world, and people from all the different nations are able to put their faith and trust in Christ and be a part of the fold, the sheep that God has called to himself. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. This speaks of the church. The church is composed of both the Jews and the Gentiles that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, he says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you are without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." So, whoever we might be today, whether we be Jews, whether we be Gentiles, or whatever nationality we might be, we can come to Christ and put our faith and trust in him. His sheep are those who believe in him. And his sheep are those who hear his voice. In verse 27 of our text, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Those who belong to the Lord are to obey him, right? Just like the sheep follow the shepherd, they listen to his voice, and they follow him wherever he goes. Jesus said to the churches in the book of Revelation, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." You can read that at the beginning of the book of Revelation. All the seven churches, he tells them, the ones who have ears to hear, let them hear. And we need to listen today to the voice of the Lord Jesus speaking to us and follow him. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will comfort you, I will help you, I'll be with you through whatever may be coming." His sheep are those who hear his voice and who follow him, who follow him in obedience. This is the natural way for sheep to do, to follow the shepherd. Those who have received eternal life and who are secure in him. Notice verse 28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So we have security. We have eternal life through believing in the Lord Jesus. and trusting in Him as our Lord and Savior. Dr. J. Vernon McGee said, "I believe in the eternal security of the believer and in the insecurity of the make-believer." Yeah? So that's something to think about. We need to make sure that our faith and trust is in Christ and in Him alone for our salvation. Warren Wiersbe had this to say, talking about the sheep. He said, "Sheep are a perfect picture of the Christian. Sheep are clean animals in the Bible, and Christians have been cleansed from their sin. Sheep flock together, and so do true believers. Sheep are harmless, and Christians should be harmless. Sheep are given to wandering, and so are we. Sheep need the shepherd for protection, guidance, and food. And we need Christ for spiritual protection, daily guidance, and spiritual food. Sheep are useful and productive. So are true Christians. Finally, sheep are used for sacrifices, and Christians are willing to yield themselves for Christ." So, coming to a conclusion, we find that Christ is the door to salvation. He gives us salvation, He gives us satisfaction and security, the abundant life. He offers forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all who come to Him in faith, believing, and enter into the kingdom of God through Him. Again, in verse 9, it says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture." So this is Christ's invitation today. If any man will come to me, it doesn't matter, any person, not just the masculine, but everyone, any person can come. Whosoever will may call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. So if you have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, come to Him today. Enter into eternal life. We have someone that we can trust who will take us all the way through this life and into the life to come. He is the Good Shepherd who died for our sins, the Great Shepherd who arose again from the dead, and the Chief Shepherd who is coming again. So trust Him today and let Him be your shepherd, that you might have peace and joy in your heart and know for sure that you have eternal life in Christ. Our Father, we thank You once again for Your precious word to our hearts today and ask You to bless each one who is listening. And may those who do not know You put their faith and trust in You today and pass from death unto life. Make sure that they have eternal life in Christ Jesus. We thank You that You are our shepherd, Lord, and we pray that You'll help us that we might walk with You day by day and be faithful. Comfort our hearts and strengthen us in these days, our Father. Be with those who are ill, those who are suffering. We pray that You will touch them and heal them. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of their loved ones, that You will bless them as well. May Your holy will be accomplished, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.